Kia ora, good morning and welcome to Fringe Radio. It's day, I think it's day 8 or maybe even day 9, a little bit out of sync. Saturday the 8th of October, it's the biggest day of Fringe. There's over 30 events on today, and we'll be previewing some of them and reviewing some things from yesterday. I've got a bunch of guests coming in this morning, so at 9 o'clock I've got Barney Duncan in. And then at 9:30, Donald and Rachel from Laldi are going to come in and play some songs. And then Stephen Bain, or possibly his collaborator, Sarah Jane, is going to be coming in to talk about The Drifting Room, which is on today. And then at 10:30, we've got Rob Jones, whose show DIY Punk Opera is on today. And then if I can just scroll down, at 11 o'clock, hopefully she's remembered because this was all done on the fly last night, Summer and Luke from King Tide are coming in. And then at 11:30, Tui Mamaki is going to drop by to talk about her show The Moon and the Machine. And finally, the three guys in Awkward are going to be in at 11:45. And I don't know if I can handle three egos. Hopefully they'll all good mates. It's a small space, and I just had a message from Simon to say, can you fit us all in the studio? And I said, as long as you can be in a small space together, that'll be fine. So that's the lineup for this morning, and I think I can hear Barney Duncan and his entourage outside, so I'll just play a track while we get them in here and sit them down. And so this is by Luna Vella. So Luna Vella are playing at 8:30 tonight, and A Mermaid Beta also playing today, and so it would seem appropriate once again to play Elevators, because Mermaid Bait are doing the Elevator Tour. So here's Elevators by...
Thank you.
Kia ora, welcome back to Fringe Radio. I'm Damien. I'm going to be with you till 12 o'clock, and we've got a great lineup of guests this morning coming in at nicely spaced intervals, so I've got time to get my shit together, because yesterday was a bit messy at times with the technology, but hopefully today it's all going to be straightforward acoustic. We've got two bands coming in, Laldi and King Tide, and hopefully they can just play acoustic in the studio, because that's the most straightforward way to do it. All right, so I'd like to welcome Barney Duncan to the studio, and he's here with his friend Laurel. Welcome, Barney.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I was just saying to Barney, you know, we've been looking at his picture in the program, and it looks like some quite sort of outrageous earrings hanging down with the sunglasses, and apparently that's an all-in-one kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a new type of sunglasses technology, which means you have earrings built into them. You don't need to pierce.
And can you change the earrings? Or
no, you just have to buy new sunglasses with different earrings.
And is it like $2 shop, or is it?
It's $2 shop.
Right,
yeah.
Right, great.
They're not even mine. I think they're my girlfriend's. I found them right before the photo shoot and thought these will be good.
Yeah, because you look quite famous. I mean, you look like a superstar in that photo.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your description describes you as a superstar. It's pretty...
Does it?
Well, yeah.
Can you read it out to me?
It says, Barney's been making funny shows now for two decades and has toured them all over the world.
Yes. I do. I dropped the, world tour vibe.
Yeah, well, why not? And it's probably true.
Yep.
Yeah, great. And Matt, Laurel's partner, was at your comedy, open mic night?
It was an open mic night, yeah.
Where you did a bit of material.
Yep. And he tested out some stuff.
Yeah, he described a particular bit that really worked for him, which was the Amazonian butterflies harassing the turtles to make them cry to drink their tears because they've got a sodium deficiency.
Yeah.
Is that like a representative sort of chunk of your comedy?
Shit. Okay, yeah. That wasn't going to go in the hour tonight, but maybe I have to put it in now.
Well, I think I'm coming tonight, and I definitely want to hear it. So if you don't mind, just indulge.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, that's... Okay. I mean, that is a good bit. That's a bit from an existing show, Bunny.
Oh.
So what I'm doing tonight is basically like 80% new stuff, buttressed by old classic hits that work well.
Right.
And Butterflies is one of them.
Right. So is that like an extended sort of story or riff, or like was that just a kind of like a gag, or like how would you describe it?
Well, in the show that it's from, it makes sense because it's about crying.
Ah.
And that show is about me dealing with grief.
Ah.
But I can pull it out and just make it like an interesting animal fact.
Right. Right, okay.
But this show has no coherence that you will all come to tonight.
Right. Well the only claim you're making is that you're funny for 1 hour, which is actually quite a huge claim, isn't it? Like, it's quite a brave thing to say.
I'm laying down the gauntlet. I do have one piece of coherence that I want to try and get someone... Oh, maybe I shouldn't give this away. Well, I will. I'm going to get someone to have a stopwatch on their phone from the moment I come out.
Oh. And is it
make
money?
Sure that I do, because I can't pull out at like 50 minutes and go, well, that's basically show.
Yeah, because limp endings aren't good,
no,
are they?
And I have to do I have to do 60 full minutes.
Right.
So I'm going to be rigorously, and if I run out of material, then I will be improvising.
Oh.
No, but that won't happen.
No?
I've got bags of stuff.
Okay. So you can easily go for an hour.
I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And what was your kind of, I've been interested in talking to the comedians, when did you work out that you were funny enough to pull this off? Like, what was the kind of moment where you, was it when you were a little shit at school? Some of them go, I was just always in trouble at school and everyone was laughing, so that was their moment? Was it like that?
No, I don't have that classic story. It's more, I was making theatre, which is how I know Laurel.
Ah, okay.
But the theatre I was making with Laurel's then flatmate, Trigvi, it was funny. It was like, originally it was slapstick, silent sort of Laurel and Hardy-based physical comedy.
Right.
And then that progressed into kind of surreal. Then I did a show called Constantinople about the Emperor Constantine's conversion to Christianity, which was in horse racing.
Right, the two are connected somehow?
Yeah, so I went from funny physical slapstick into like strange, surreal, I don't know, Barney fever dream stuff.
Right.
And then I went into, I did three shows based on a character called Juan Vesuvius, who was a Venezuelan calypso DJ. So I had turntables and records and did like, it was just like, what I'm trying to, it was an evolution of, I started out as like a theater maker.
Right.
But always making funny stuff. And then I think it was when I moved to Melbourne in maybe 2014.
Mm.
Where I just couldn't get into the, I couldn't break into any sort of theatre scene there. But there was tons of stand-up.
Right.
Every night of the week. And I was familiar with that scene through doing all the fringe festivals, like Melbourne Comedy Festival and Edinburgh Fringe, and you go and do 8-minute spots to promote your show.
Right.
So I was rubbing shoulders with just normal comedian people who weren't pretending to be a Venezuelan calypso DJ. They were just themselves.
Mm.
And then I just morphed into like, well, no one's hiring me to do any, I can't get any theatre jobs, so I want to keep this, I want to exercise some sort of performance muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go to open mic comedy nights. And then gradually, I started off being a character dude at that, and then gradually just tried. It was terrifying to just drop character work and then just try and figure out what Barney is.
Right.
When I, how do I stand when I'm on stage holding a microphone? What sort of voice? It's a simple thing.
Who am I?
Yeah. it really was like, who am I when I'm just me?
Yeah.
What sort of jokes do I want to talk about when I'm not being a character?
Right.
So that was really only about 6 years ago. But I guess I started being funny on stage about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. Right.
I was just telling Barney that I just remembered this today when I was at drama school many years ago when I was about 22 writing a review for this amazing show at Bats that still is in my head called Happy Hour for Miserable Children. And that was a Barney Trugby Jeff show, wasn't it? Mm. It was just like this. It was a fantastic piece of theatre, but clowny, dark, unpredictable, shadowy fabulousness. Yeah. That I've got, still got the review in my journal that I wrote about it. Yeah, wow, I'll dig it out.
I'll read it. Yeah. Yeah. So nowadays you're not. Does Juan Vesuvius make appearances in your shows ever? Does he pop up, or are you
no
friendly? No.
No, you know, a few reasons. I had a lot more hair when I was Juan Vesuvius that made the character work, and he doesn't look the same now that I'm bald. And also, it's slightly problematic in the current climate if you're not a Latino person and you're pretending to be a Latino person. Even though, you know, I lived in South America, I speak Spanish. And it's very much a love letter to South American music, but it's too much of a sort of a hornet's nest of like, is this appropriate?
In the sense of like cultural appropriation or just mocking?
Yeah, it's the question of if you're punching up or punching down and that kind of thing, and just when white people who don't have any cultural ties to a nationality are impersonating that nationality, there's now, quite rightly so, some people are going, hang on, are you able to do that? I mean, so, and it's all, like, it's a cool argument that I don't want to poo-poo.
Mm.
I just kind of went, well, I've been doing this character for 8 years anyway. Mm. I'd made three shows. It was just about exploring DJing and comedy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I've totally explored every crevice of that. And I was like, well, I can put Juan to bed.
Yeah. I was just thinking about Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, where does that leave him with someone like Borat? Is he out of date now to be doing, or when he did that?
Well, it's an interesting question. Kazakhstan.
Mm.
You argue that, I think the question you should always ask yourself as a comic when you make a joke is, are you punching up or are you punching down? And Trigvi actually had a great piece of a thing when one comedian we know in Melbourne who was making jokes about kebabs exploding, and it was a little bit, he was putting on a funny accent, and it's like, Trigvi's question was, well, does the world need more jokes right now about terrorists, Pakistani people being terrorists? Does the world need that? And it's such a good, it's like, it's stuck in my mind. It's like, that's such a good thing to always ask yourself. Like, when you're thinking of something funny, but it is a little bit on the edge of being offensive to a whole cultural group, go, well, does the world, will the world benefit from me adding this into the soup at the moment? Or is it sort of going further down a, like, gross path of just meanness?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So who is it okay to, who's it okay to have in your sights these days?
Well, just, I guess someone who's being a dick. So, I will mock, I mean, people in power who are making, I don't know, you know, I don't, fuck, I can't even, I don't think I can talk about on air the people that I do sort of take the mickey out of.
Yeah. Do you do it in the show? Like, are you, have you, are you sort,
look,
of,
there's a few
political?
Jokes. There's a few jokes that, that that bring up, you know, potentially, I don't know, some issues around science based theories of how to deal with a pandemic, you know?
Right.
Versus non-science-based theories of how to deal with a pandemic.
Right, right. And are you clearly on one side of that?
Well, no, I'm just going, it's funny how people think that, but then this.
Yeah, because they, I mean, they are very...
It was, it, like, a few months ago, there was a very sort of clear division of, I'm on this camp, and I'm on this camp. And I think enough time has passed now, we're all friends again, and we can kind of go, that was weird. but it's kind of funny to think about it like this. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to... Again, it's a question of punching up and punching down.
Yeah.
And it's just a slight... It's just fun. It's just cool. I think the art with making a joke is to not be overtly violent in your attack, but to sort of throw up a kind of silly situation that allows people to look at the topic from a different angle,
right,
and then maybe see the absurdity in something that we were all very hit up about,
right?
You know,
right, yeah.
Rather than being overt,
rather than
because then it's dogmatic and people just feel like they're getting lectured to, and it never works.
Yeah,
okay. You just got to throw up a funny shape. You've just got to present abstract art that people can mull over and sort of go, oh, hey. Think I like that, or, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I know what you mean. So, do you write? Do you write sort of? How do you write? Do you write jokes, or do you write sort of sketches, or how would you say you put things together?
It's different. It's different writing like this kind of comedy to writing a show. Yeah, I have a notepad on my phone of just sentences or words.
Yeah.
And then I'll book a rehearsal room and I'll have a pad with those ideas. It's hard it's hard to be by yourself at 11 in the morning in a cold room and trying to think of funny stuff. But I have little techniques. I'll put on music and dance around, or actually like going to the gym and then coming straight from the gym to the room when you're all sort of endorphined up. Or sometimes I'll indulge in a little marijuana break or something like that. Anything to just sort of pop my brain into a different stratosphere.
Yeah. And then do you try that stuff out on someone you trust? Or
no, I'll try it out at open mic nights.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about stand-up is that you've constantly got rehearsal rooms and showings on tap, and that's how I look at it. I don't think of open mic nights or any time I'm on stage doing, even if it's like a paid gig at the Classic or something like that, I don't think of it as a, I've got to go out there and kill. I think of it as a rehearsal for an idea.
Right.
So I never will do the same set. A lot of comedians will have, they're trying to drum up their, what do you call it, a tight five or a tight 10, like their best 5 minutes worth of jokes or their best ever 10 minutes. And they're slowly tinkering with the order and the punchlines. And you go along to nights and you just hear, if you're a comedian, you just hear the same jokes from the, and there are famous people out there that I know on TV now that only do the same set all of the time. And that's just so profoundly dull for me as a as an objective.
So you like sort of reinvent constantly?
Well, once I've got something that works, I won't keep like pounding it to death.
Yeah.
I'll just put it in the bag of like, okay, this will be in a show one day. What's a new idea?
And one thing I've noticed, I mean, Fringe is great for comedians because they're very portable, aren't they? You're very portable as a comedian. You don't have a lot of it's just you and a mic. Is that good for you? Like, or do you miss the sort of theatre making, the kind of more collaborative performance or performing with other people?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I'm not one of those comedians. I usually have tons of props and intricate lighting design. I make even, so my shows are like sort of theatrical standard.
So we're getting that tonight?
No. So this is what I wanted to try up here in Whangarei for the first ever time. It's like, I just want to do me in a microphone stand and no props and no fancy lighting and no big sound things. Usually, there's like bass guitars and...
So you've got other people on stage with you?
No, I'm doing all of this stuff.
Oh, okay.
But
you've got props and
props
stuff
and
to play with.
Full on, like, the second to last show I made, Taphead had all this projected animation that changed the world that I lived in. So it was quite theatrical. Or, the show Bunny had a flashing LED sign, those kind of signs that you have in dairies that say... two-minute noodles, $4, scrolling along them. Right. One of them above my head, like commenting on everything I was saying. So none of that. And so it's terrible for a technician who's got like, my shows usually have about 80 cues.
Yeah.
Sound, lights, fucking remote control, signs, all sorts of shit like that. And it's like, I've got, if I don't have a touring technician... And I'm just coming to town, and I don't have 8 hours to teach someone I haven't met my show. Then I'm like, why do I make this so difficult? Wouldn't it be great to just turn up and be able to walk on stage and then just do it?
So you're not scared of not having all that stuff to?
I am a little bit. Mm. I'm scared a little bit of that. Well, not scared. I feel nicely terrified. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. I think the next guest has arrived, and it's 9:25, so we better wrap this up. Just before we go, look, I've been asking the comedians who their kind of, you know, favourite comedians are. Who would you name as people who have inspired you and continue to inspire you?
I would say Noel Fielding.
The Mighty Boosh guy.
Robin Williams, his 80s stuff.
Yep.
There's an Australian comedian who's a friend of mine who I think is incredible called Zoe Coombs-Ma.
Right.
Oh, interesting. An American clown called Dr. Brown.
So do you watch a lot? Like, do you enjoy watching it, as an audience member or on YouTube or like?
Maybe YouTube. I try to get into like watching all these tons of Netflix stand-up specials that are coming out.
Yeah.
But it is kind of still quite a boring art form. Like, it's just a person with a mic stand and a fancy intro, but then they're just, it's very predictable. It's like burlesque. Like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's also quite ephemeral in a way. Like, do you think, like, we were talking about it the other day and saying, you know, you remember having a good time, but you don't, except for the, you know, the Amazonian butterfly, which obviously really was a, you know, an image that stuck with Matt. And he posted it in our little chat and we were all talking about it and it's like,
I've got to do it then.
It's unusual. It's unusual for that, you know, you kind of vaguely remember things, but it's often doesn't stick in your mind. So like a show, like a theatre show might.
Yeah, I think so. Although, but there's like, The power of a comedian, and this is maybe a nice point to end on, but yeah. like say like Hannah Gadsby, right? She doesn't need a giant set and an incredible big budget behind her. Like she could do Nanette in the back room of a pub.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all she. You just need a microphone,
right?
And she like there are moments where a comedian can make such a succinct point that it's just as powerful as Forrest Gump, as someone on someone's brain.
Right, know? Right, right, right.
I can remember things like seeing Dylan Moran live as well was just yeah. It's that's the cool thing about it. It's super accessible. It
yeah.
You can have the amount of money that you pour into a extravagant theatre production and that's very moving in parts. You can make that happen in the back room of a pub where people paid nothing or $5 to go in, and the same kind of cathartic, electric thing can happen.
Cool.
So I think that's the cool thing about it. It's very accessible.
Cool. Awesome. We're looking forward to tonight. So it's 8 p.m. at the Fringe After Dark Club. Barney yep. Duncan is funny for 1 hour, and we will all probably have our stopwatches out now, keeping you honest.
I've really
living up to the hype.
Down to myself.
Well, you know, you probably wrote that description, so we didn't even get on to bananas, but let's see what comes out tonight. So thanks very much for coming in, Laurel. Thanks for bringing Barney in. Great
Thank
to meet you.
You.
And we'll chuck another Luna Valley track on because they're playing tonight. Oh, there's one already playing, but start it again. This one is called... Oh, I played this one yesterday. It's called A Phase.
It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. I'm going through. I'm going through. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. I'm going through. I'll probably be back to Earth next week. Next week. They say it's gonna be a nuclear winter. I don't mind, I just want my good friends. They say it's gonna be a nuclear winter. I don't mind, I just want my good friends. Who will you get me? It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. I'm going through. It's just a phase, a phase, a phase, a phase. It's just a phase, a phase. So
that was Luna Vella and A Phase. That's good. Great to have a chat with Barney and Laurel just now in the studio. And I'm expecting Gordon. Oh, God. I'm expecting Laldi in a minute. I always get the names wrong. Just thought I'd do a quick preview of what's coming up. We've got circus workshops this morning starting at 10 o'clock. And that is at the Old Library with Circus Kumarani. So it's a five-hour circus workshop happening today and tomorrow. And if you go on circuskumarani.co.nz and you can see the schedule and book your place, it's a koha, so great event for the family and not going to cost you much. The sexagesimal celebration at Clapham's Clocks is also on this morning. Looking at the event finder page, last week it said it had been postponed, but you better check it out before you go down just to make sure. And the Shades of Blue workshop is also starting at 10 o'clock. Talked a bit about that yesterday. And it is a cyanotype workshop. So it's a five-hour workshop, starts at 10, $50 a ticket. And you learn about the history of cyanotypes and how to create and print them. And then 10 o'clock, the Drifting Room is kicking off today, and they've got, I think, four, I don't know what you'd call them, outings. I'm hoping to catch one later. They're leaving from 116 at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 p.m., and 1 p.m. And it's 35 to 40 minutes per show. It's $5 a ticket. And the description says the buildings allow us to see the world from a fixed position, but what happens when we're no longer tied to one place? The Drifting Room is human-powered and views the city as a vast stage with a cast of thousands. So they'll be here soon and getting set up to go off on their trip. And then Jerry and Dusty are on at 11. Jerry and Dusty are part of the Americana Kiwi band, a folk band, T-Bone. They're playing this morning at Whangarei Central Library, and they'll be playing songs from T-Bone's album Good and Greasy, which was released earlier in the year, and Jerry's whacking wonderful albums of children's music. So they've got banjos, mandolins, guitars, and fiery harmonies. So that sounds great, and that is free. So lots of free stuff on this morning. That's at Whangarei Central Library at 11 o'clock. Liam Asprey is doing his Affectionate Portraits of Furship Artists Talk, which is at Megan Dickinson Gallery, also at 11 o'clock. And I'm guessing that's free. I would assume it's free. Liam's had an interesting journey to becoming an artist, and it says Liam's giving an artist talk. It's all free, so go along and hear what Liam's... If you're into cats, you're going to love it. And so that's what's this morning. And then at 12 o'clock, Mermaid Bait kick off their elevator tour, which is starting... Actually, I don't know where it's starting. You have to go to their Facebook page, and they're finishing up at Astro Boy for a gig at about 3. So I think between 12 and 3, they're playing the elevators of Whangarei. So I'm not sure, can't remember how many. I think they've got 4 or 5 venues lined up, and you either meet them there at the time that it says on their Facebook page, or you follow them for 3 hours if you can handle that much Mermaid Bait. All right, I'm going to chuck another track on. I'm going to put another Luna Vella one on while we get set up for our next guests. And this one is... So Luna Vella are playing tonight at 116 at 8:30 p.m., just one show in the festival. And this is 6 out of 10, Friend.
Talking at me for a whole hour is my idea of fun.
Kia ora and welcome back to Fringe Radio. I'm Damien, I'll be with you till midday, and we've got a great lineup this morning. Next up, we'd like to welcome Laldi to the studio, Rachel and Donald. They're playing here tonight at 116 at 7 p.m. It's tickets are $15 or $10. It's a one-hour show, and you can, if you want to buy tickets, you can go online, whangareefringe.co.nz, and go to the What's On page and click on the tile that says Laldi, and you can, it'll take you to the event finder page. You can buy tickets there. So we're going to kick off with a song. What's the song called?
Taken by the Sea.
Taken by the Sea. All right, this is Laldi live on Beagle Radio. Wonderful. That was Laldi live in the studio. I hope the vocals came across okay. It's a very sort of improvised setup, but while Rachel and Donald take their instruments, put their instruments down for a sec, we might have a quick chat. And the first thing I'll do is apologise for what a mess our Zoom was the other day. I've had some remedial training on how to do a Zoom. I'm still a little bit, I still need to practice off air. So if you guys come in as close as you can to that mic, that would be great. So you've just flown up from Wellington this morning. Welcome to Whangarei.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, Rachel is from Whangarei, so welcome home.
Thank you.
I don't know if you still think of Whangarei as home, but...
Yeah, it's been 10 years since I was properly here, but yeah. Places don't really stop feeling like home.
And Donald, presumably you've been here...
Once. A total of once, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So to met Rachel's family, and are there, so you still got family living here, Rachel?
I do still have family living here.
Yeah.
Donald hasn't actually been up to my house before, so this is quite exciting on a number of
Whereabouts do you guys, whereabouts your family
live? So out in Nungaroo.
Oh, cool. Right.
Yeah.
So was that song, that's an original song?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's such a cheerful kind of music, isn't it? It's such a positive sort of music. Like you can't help but tap your foot along.
Yeah. That's what gets us going. Like we like things that have got a good drive and good momentum to them. So.
Yeah. And on our previous conversation on Zoom, you were talking about... what was that artist, the sea shanty? Was it you telling us about the sea shanty guy who's reviving the sea shanty as a sort of...
Oh, it wasn't us talking about
that. That was someone else.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah,
well, who are your... I guess I was trying to find out what your kind of... Who your inspirations are, who you kind of... Who would you talk about in terms of music that really influences. Inspires you?
Yeah, so there's a Scottish band who have been getting pretty big recently called Talisk, who have been inspiring us recently. And they've gone from just really fantastic... versions of trad material to they've started to playing on like really big stages, and they're really going for kind of massive dance party vibes, but with trad music, and they're just a three-piece.
I think it's about kind of these sounds which are really kind of grounded in the traditional music of places like Scotland, Ireland, Scandinavia, French Canada, but are kind of taking more contemporary forms. So we really like playing with that edge, and then kind of also, you know, bringing back some of these older songs that, you know, there's a lot of wonderful folk artists in the UK who really have revived the form of traditional song, and then blending that with songs that we've written ourselves. So it's quite a mix of what we're drawing on.
Yeah, and it's really considering who the audience is. Like when people, we want to play for an audience who wants to enjoy lively music, and the music that we enjoy is lively traditional music. So we're trying to play trad folk in a way that contemporary audiences will enjoy.
Right, so do people get up and dance at your shows?
Yes.
Oh, definitely, especially the under fives. We're really big for the under fives.
Yeah.
We encourage that.
Yes. Yeah, so the under fives could help the adults get up and shake a leg. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, certainly the kind of music that you feel like dancing to.
Yes. Yeah. And in an ideal world, we would have a standing room set up because we want to play for those kinds of gigs. But at the moment, most of the gigs that we've found have been putting out chairs. I feel like New Zealand audiences generally quite like being quite static to music.
That's interesting you say that, because if I go to a live gig, I'm very disappointed if there isn't, I mean, I call it a mosh pit, but you know, somewhere to dance.
And I think that's where we want to go to, you know, in terms of, like, our trajectory as a band is we want to be a band that's about getting people up and dancing.
And presumably you sort of met through your shared love of this kind of music. Is that
very
much right?
Yeah. I met Donald at the party of a mutual friend and was like, oh my god, there's a man in Wellington, you know, it's not as small as Whangarei, but it can feel pretty small sometimes, who's under 40, who plays mandolin, who I don't know, and aggressively befriended him. And
a
few years later, here we are.
Right, and I haven't asked you this, but I'm assuming you're a couple, I guess you're...
Yes.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so quite a nice kind of compact unit. You're not expenses are quite minimal for touring, I would guess.
Yeah, you know? Especially when it ties in with family visits. Thank
Yeah. Right, so how long have you guys been playing together again?
So we played together in a different band for 2 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Before this. And then we kind of started, I would say we had our first proper gig October last year.
Yeah.
But we were kind of brewing up to that over a good 6 month period.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we've basically been making music together for about 4 years, because very quickly after Rachel and I started playing music together, I asked her to join the other band.
Oh.
And just because she was keen, she kept saying yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
She's really good. So I just wanted more excuses to play.
Right. So what's happened to the other band? Is that still a thing, or are you?
No, we kind of got to a point where everyone had other projects that they were also working on.
Yeah.
And so that band was called Barry and the Crumpets. And we managed to record an album.
Wow. And is that a Barry Crump reference?
Yes, it is. Very much.
Our album was called A Good Keen Band.
Ah, okay, right. Yeah. Are you all Barry Crump fans? Or
no, it was a funny idea by
the front man of that band.
Banjo player. He thought, like, right. Haha, this would be funny. He wasn't expecting the band to agree, but no one else had a better name suggestion, so it stuck.
Uh-huh.
And then we were
regretted it ever since.
Yeah, regretted it ever since. Really? because people kept asking, like, so who's Barry? Which one of you is Barry? Or like,
and then I joined the band as the only woman, and then I got asked, oh, you must be the Crumpet.
Oh god.
So yeah, it wasn't cool.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a good keen band. Like, it was a really good fun time. It was mostly kind of more of the old-timey Americana side of things.
Yeah.
Which is really great fun.
It's really great fun. And there's a really big following for that in New Zealand as well. There's a big kind of bluegrass old time
scene.
Because there's another band playing today called what are they called? These guys from they're from
T-Bone playing tonight.
Well, not T-Bone. It's two
Dusty
and Jerry and Dusty. Actually, they're playing.
Oh, great! True. What time are they playing?
They're playing at 11 o'clock this morning.
This morning.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to go home, but
probably
other people you should go see. They're great.
Definitely see Dusty and Jerry. They're great.
You know them?
Yeah,
yeah, from right. The Wellington physical scene.
Self-described as Americana Kiwi folk band.
Yes.
Yeah.
T-Bone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, and they're really great.
They're playing down at the Whangarei Central Library in just an hour, and it's free. So great. There's a lot of free stuff on this morning, and while we're talking about live music, so today we've got lots of music. We've got DIY, a punk opera, and Rob Jones is coming in later to talk to us about that. They're at the Butter Factory down in the cave. And then also at the same time here, we've got Huia Express, Joel Reese, playing songs from his band. And then Laldia here at 7, Black Fern Groover at the Butter Factory in the cave at 7. And then we've got Luna Vela here at 116 at 8:30. And then Kyle Fury and the Ray Guns are at Roost at 9 p.m. So today's a huge. Today's the biggest festival day. So you've arrived.
Oh,
brilliant!
Good timing.
Like, we've got 30 events on. It's like,
wow.
We're just all amazed that that's even possible in this town.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's cool. So in Wellington, is there a lively sort of scene for this type of music? Like, where do you play? Like, are there some venues that host this kind of music? Or
the main place to go if you like. If you like the kind of trad folk scene, is probably the Welsh Dragon Bar on a Tuesday night.
There's a great trad session there.
Right. Yeah. Is it like a jam session or is it like bands?
Well, it's not a jam session. Sessions are not a jam session. It's a big thing, and I could go on about this for a long time.
Right.
But it's kind of, yeah, it's a kind of collaborative, community-led music-making space that kind of follows a very particular format.
Right.
Playing mostly Irish repertoire.
Right.
But there's also a couple of really great folk clubs, and of course we've got the Wellington Folk Festival down there, which we'll be at in a couple of weekends' time.
Performing at?
We're kind of guerrilla performers.
Yeah. So they
have... as busking.
No, it's somewhere in between.
So at the Wellington Folk Festival, they have kind of two stages. They've got the main stage, and that's kind of the featured acts that are in the program. And then they have a smaller stage, which is the Balladeer, and that's like an invitation concert over the three evenings.
Right.
And that's made up of kind of Wellington scene folk musicians. And then the committee basically just keeps their eye out for any other likely musicians who happen to be strolling around the festival, and then they tap them on the shoulder and get them up to play. So
we'll be doing that on the Friday night.
Yeah, they've asked us to play on the Friday night because we've played enough other gigs that they've seen us and they know them. And they asked, are you going to be there? Because we can put you on. So
great. It sounds quite friendly and inclusive.
It's a really strong community, and a lot of volunteer hours go into making all of those things happen.
Yeah.
And the majority of the festival is musicians. Like, my experience of it is that there is as much, if not more, music and good music being played in the campsite as there is on the main stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like the music never stops then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can wake up and you can just play music right the way through, and there's lots and lots of different jam sessions of different idioms.
And mostly that's a good thing, but sometimes people will be learning to play the tin whistle when you're trying to take a nap.
Right. I can imagine that. Yeah, that could be quite irritating.
Yeah, and that's a bit challenging, but...
Yeah.
But overall, it's actually a really positive thing, so I shouldn't make too many of those jokes on the radio.
And also this year, can we tell them about the kids thing?
Yes! Yeah. Actually, so this year, I'm working with Karen Jones, who's a phenomenal Celtic harpist from across the Great Divide. They've just finished doing a big tour with NZ on Arts.
Right.
we are going to be running a youth program. So for 5 to 18-year-olds, we're going to have a series of workshops over the weekend to kind of provide an on-ramp into folk for people who are maybe learning an instrument at school or in their own time, and just to kind of build the next generation. So if anyone isn't doing anything at Labour Weekend and wants a great road trip, come hang out with me.
It's only 12 hours away. I've done that journey many times. It reminds me of a thing we used to have here called Gaeltacht, which is like a, I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like a
sort
of like a festival kind of workshop type thing. Hey, I've just looked at the time and it's 9:54 and we've got Stephen Baines coming in at 10. So we've got time for one more song. Is that possible?
Great. We can do that.
Should we do that instead of talking for 6 minutes?
Sure. We can talk for more. But.
I'm sure you can. And what? How do you spell the name of that band that you told me about? Talisk?
Talisk.
Yeah.
And if you put on Echo, that's a really great track to play.
Okay.
With a K.
Yeah.
With a K?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if you type Echo.
Oh, okay. Right.
Great. What do you want to play, Richard?
Shall we do the upstairs hit?
Okay, so while Laldi set up, I'll just tell you the lineup again of the bands we've got today. So DIY, a punk opera at the Butter Factory at 5:30, same time Huia Express here at 116, and Laldi are on here at 116 at 7 o'clock, and it's $10 or $15, which is a really good value for an hour's entertainment. All right, so here we go. What's the song called?
This is called the Upstart Set.
The Upstart Set. So,
so this is instrumental.
Okay, so no singing. What about the stomp box?
We could plug it in, but
it's too technical.
You have to come to the gate.
We could do singing if you want singing. We could do singing.
I'm happy.
We could do Across the Valley if you want. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, doing Across the Valley without the stomp box, but they've got a very cool looking stomp box which is going to be used tonight.
Yes,
it's a interesting. It's a what? A wazinator. Okay, yes. Right. Never come across one of those. But it'll be great. It'll be lively. They'll be dancing and come along. All right, here we go with, what's the song called again?
Across the Valley.
Across the Valley. Thank you.
Carry on the wind, your voice blows away from me. Wave at me across the valley of song. Do not carry on the wind, your voice blows away from me. Wave at me across the valley of song. Will not carry on the wind, your voice blows away.
Great. Oh, that was fantastic. That was Laldi and Across the Valley. So they're on at 7 p.m. here tonight at 116. And it was great to have them in the studio live and without any technical glitches. Sorry about last time once more. Okay, great. So while they pack up and head off to wherever they're going next, which is, I think, out to Nungaroo, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. I will play a song by this band that they've said that they love, which is Talisk, and this song is called Echo. We'll be right back. Wow, that was intense. That was a beautiful piece of music. And that was Talisk with Echo. And that's from their album Abyss. And that was the recommendation of Donald and Rachel, who just were in the studio for a great little set. It was great to meet them. And sent them on their way with Chocolate Croissant. They're out to the coast, and then they'll be back in later on for a tech and their gig at 7 o'clock. Okay, so what else is on today? So the Drifting Room is gearing up to head out on their first, don't know what you call it, drift, or their first walk, or their first performance, I'm not really sure. Stephen's just dropped by to say that they'd like to come in at 11:15, so we'll be chatting to them a little bit later than advertised, which is fine. And so they are, their first outing starts at 116, 11 a.m. And then Mermaid Bait are next. Maybe we should play a Mermaid Bait track, actually. That's probably what we should do. And I know that they've got an album on Spotify, so I'll just search them up. I was thinking they've got a strong local following, so they, but you know, why wouldn't they want us to play something? Right. So let's, they haven't, obviously haven't got their Elevator song up on Spotify yet, but that's okay. Play that in a minute. So what else have we got? So the Drifting Room's got a show at 11 and a show at 12 and a show at 1. And that is it for the day. So the, oh, sorry, 1 at 10, 11, 12 and 1. So that's pretty impressive, putting on four events in that space of time. So it's a 35 to 40 minute event. And it involves you going out and about with the Drifting Room. Which I think is an object, some sort of object. I'm interesting to see and hear more about it. Then we've got Router Sidewalker at 1 p.m. Starting from the today, he's starting from Whangarei. Well, he's starting every day from Whangarei Central Library. He's got three trips, I guess you could call them: 1 p.m., 6:30 p.m., and 9 p.m. And we had an interview with George Fenn yesterday, who is Router Sidewalker. And it sounds interesting, sort of improvised, and he doesn't know where the show's going to go, and I hope to catch that later. Piqued my curiosity. Whitney Channings is doing Songs from My Suitcase at 1 p.m. So that's even more music. Whitney came in last week, and she's performing at 116 today at 1 p.m. So the first music is Songs from My Suitcase, first gig, I guess you could say. And Whitney's a very engaging and lively and fun performer on her ukulele and singing songs sort of that composed while she was traveling the world. And sounds great. She played one here about being in Spain when she was in the studio last week. Okay, then World of Voice Singing Workshop is at 1 p.m. And I believe that's at Just Thrive. Yep, that's correct. That's with Tui Mamaki, who's a singing teacher and singer herself. And she's coming in on her way to that at 11:30 this morning. So we're going to have a quick chat with Tui, and hopefully she'll sing something for us. And the description of her event is: discover the flavor of different languages on your tongue. Through beautiful polyphonic sounds from around the world, deepen your breath, tone, and harmony. For visual and oral learners who love to sing with others. And Tui's trained in various folklore traditions, including, I believe, Bulgarian polyphony, I guess you say. So it'll be great to have a chat with Tui. And then Crispy Tunes is down at Roost later on. Crispy Tunes is a Beagle DJ called Chris Foote. Beagle Radio and Badger's Den Records take over the chicken coop. Right, so he's riffing on Roost there, I guess. It's a curated selection of Northland's finest DJs, spinning everything from city soul sounds to jazz licks for hipsters, from banging beats to throwback anthems. It's a free event, 4 hours long, starting at Roost at 2 p.m. and Roost has a bar, which I guess will be open. So if you like hanging out, drinking and listening to music, that is the gig for you. In your program, it will say Grief Sex Race at 3 p.m. but that has been cancelled, unfortunately. The Imaginarium then kicks off at 3:33 p.m. on the dot, don't be late. And I believe if you there's a way to find out what their schedule is. It might be mean going to the window, but they've got different performances, I guess you'd call them, or installations. I'm not really sure. Like all performance art, it's a little bit hard to define, I think, is the key. Then today, Waiting for Checkout is a play reading of a new play by Rowan O'Keefe. And the description, so that's at the Octagon Theatre. It's an 18-plus event, 3 p.m. Waiting for Checkout, the description goes like this: an island, an event so horrible that you don't know what to do but question the big stuff. A hostel so horrible they named it Host Hell, and a checkout time that no one seems to know. Wait for it, a reading of a new play. Sort of puts me in the mind of something like The Beach, you know? I think it's set in somewhere like Thailand. Anyway, if you'd like to go to a play reading, that's on today. I think that's possibly the only play reading at the Fringe Festival. And hopefully Jan Fish is going to be there to review it. Great, so where's that got us to? Waiting for Checkout. Then at 5 p.m. we've got Awkward, which is some stand-up comedy by three comedians. And they'll be into the studio a little bit later on at 11:45, I believe. Yep, Simon, Joel and Henry. So it's Simon Kay, Henry Yan and Joel McCarthy, who are all variously decorated comedians. Join some of Auckland's finest up-and-coming comedians as they journey north. These comedians are clever, silly, and absolutely hilarious. These are some big claims. I guess comedians have to do that, not to be missed. So they're on at the Fringe After Dark Club at 5 and tomorrow night at 6:30. Got so much on. All you need is your program. You can either look online, fangadayfringe.co.nz, or if you've got a program in your hand, you're really going to have a struggle to work out what you're going to see. I'd love to know who can manage to see the most in one day. So then George is back with another Router Sidewalker event at 6:30 p.m. leaving from the Central Library. And then Whitney's back for another Songs from My Suitcase gig, which I'm assuming probably isn't here, is it, because it's something else on at that time. So if you just let me find the event page. Songs from My Suitcase, she's on at the Octagon tonight. So two gigs, one at the Octagon tonight at 6:30 and one at 116 at 1 p.m. Then we've got Laldi, who you just heard, playing from 7 o'clock at 116. Black Fern Groove, I heard rumours of someone being not very well, but let's assume it's going ahead. That's the Butterfactory Cave, until you hear otherwise. And then we have got, at 7 o'clock, Cool with a K. And that is another band. Didn't realise, I forgot Cool with a K is a band. They are playing at Roost at 7:30 p.m. So it's all about live music today. Cool with a K have cultivated their signature sound, oscillating between new wave and post-punk while blurring the lines of rock and dance music. Wow, this is a great description. With insane guitar rockouts, mind-bending lyrics, euphoria-inducing keys, and booty-shaking rhythms, this band sits in a pocket all on their own, gaining notoriety for their flamboyant outfits and high-energy live shows. God, that sounds insane. And that's at 7:30 p.m. So you could hang out at Roost all day and enjoy crispy tunes from 2 p.m. until Cool with a K come on. Then Barney Duncan, who I had in at 9 o'clock this morning, who's great, very interesting guy. He's funny for 1 hour, and he guarantees an hour's worth of material. He's at the Comedy Club down on John Street, and his tickets are $17, and at the Fringe After Dark Club, I should say. So you go to 16 John Street, but the entrance is round the back. So if you go to 16 John Street on John Street, you'll be directed round behind up the back alley, suitably sleazy, and DIY homemade comedy club, which is a great little venue. Ollie's doing a great job of running that, along with his helpers, Lutz and Bram, and there's someone else, I've forgotten their name, who's helping out, but it's great. I was there last night, caught the end of Jack Ansett, He seemed quite quite an interesting comedian. He's got one more gig tonight at 9:30. Right, and then there's Bull Rush Improv. I forgot to mention them as well. See, there's so much on. Bull Rush Improv are on at the Octagon tonight at 8 p.m. And improv is, it's an improv troupe. Comedy Whangarei Fringe 2020 Best Comedy Winners are back to fight for their rightful title. Not sure who they're fighting with or against, but never mind. Improvised scenes are created before your very eyes. Be delighted by a cast of Auckland's bravest and brightest. And I think Thomas and Thomason are Whangarei, really, but Auckland can try and claim them if they want. We don't care. On the back of seasons in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, Bull Rush is coming for you, Whangarei, with a very special fringe show. Get your tickets. And it's $15 or $10, like most fringe shows, very affordable. And they are at 8 p.m. at the Octagon. Wow. So much cool stuff on. All right, let's have a track from Mermaid Bait. I haven't actually played anything by Mermaid Bait yet on Fringe Radio. So let's decide, what should we play, a classic? Or they've got two albums on Spotify. They've got the Mermaid Bait original album with a very sexy man on the cover with a tattoo. And then there's Songs in the Key of Brown, which was their second album released in 2020. And it's got some of their classics on it. Let's try Go. This is Mermaid Bait. I'm Mermaid Bait and Go. God, that's a banger. I don't know if I've heard that one before. I don't remember them playing that live, and I've seen them a number of times. And they're wonderful, and they're playing today the Elevator Tour, kicking off. I really should get their Facebook page up, shouldn't I, and to be able to tell you. That would probably be the responsible thing to do. So while I'm doing that, to see where it kicks off, I will play another track. Actually, I'll play that last track by them. We're just expecting Rob Jones in the studio at... Oh, here we go. I found it already. Today, Mermaid Bait, today's the day of our big Elevator Tour, and we're super pumped. Tour times again below. Meet us at 1, excuse me, or all elevator stops along the way. Special tour merch available at Mermaid Bait. They're shameless like that. They're constantly trying to get money out of us. See you there. So 12 o'clock is the kickoff at Whangarei Central Library. And then at 12:45, they'll be playing at the Quest Elevator in... I guess they'll be playing in the elevator at the Whangarei Central Library because there is an elevator there. 12:45, Quest and Farmers. So just head for the elevator at these venues. 1:30 p.m. Event Cinemas. 2 p.m. the Amber Wallace Kitchen. I'm not sure where that is, so you might need to Google it. 2:45, Strand Arcade, brackets the big glass elevator. Getting fancy. And then Astro Boy at 3:15 for the finale gig. I'm not sure if there's an elevator at Astro Boy, but... never mind. I'm sure by then they'll have had enough of playing in small spaces. So that's on today. And while we're gearing up for the next guest, we'll put a track on, another track from that album, Songs in the Key of Brown, which is one of the most revolting album covers I've ever seen. But that's okay. It's just personal taste. And this is a final track on that album called Let It Slide.
I should.
Kia ora, welcome back to the studio. I'm Damien, and it's 10:30, and we're going to be here till midday, so we're halfway through the show. We've had some great guests in so far. And at the end of the show, Ursula will, I doubt she will get around to it this afternoon, because she's going to be playing live herself. She's part of Mermaid Bait, but she's been posting the podcast up on the Fringe Radio page on beagleradio.co.nz. So you can see back there. It's quite a little bit. And we've got some more. Jones to the studio, and Rob's part of Fossils, and this is just a bit of a thing, it doesn't say in your description of the program, and you are the Fossils.
No, it's
just, yeah, that's the Fossils, Fungate 3, how long have you guys been going?
I think it's about 2 years now, coming up.
But I remember that first time.
With a suitcase in my hand, I knew I would need my connection. I could tell by your bloodstained hand. But you can't always get what you want, 'cause sometimes your love's in vain. I've been waiting for my man since yesterday, were so far away. All I wanted was to hold your hand. Tomorrow never knows a new man. And we can't always get what you want, 'cause sometimes your love's in vain. I've been waiting for my man since yesterday. I wish you were here. You got diamonds on the silver issue. Come on, baby, light my fire. God only knows what a deal will catch you. It's been a long time coming, but a change is gonna come. I'm feeling pretty vacant in the house of the rising sun. But you can't always get what you want, 'cause sometimes your love's in vain. I've been waiting for the man since yesterday. Is this a real life, or is it just a fantasy? Can't get no satisfaction, and I ain't no sex machine. Ain't climbing no stairway to heaven, I ain't burning down no highway to hell. I'm down at the end of Lonely Street, I'm in Heartbreak Hotel. You can't always get what you want, 'cause sometimes your love's in vain. I've been waiting for my man since yesterday. But I woke up this morning, I smile with the rising sun. The times, they are a-changing, ch-ch-changes. And you can't always get what you want, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
Great, that was, well, I don't know, would you say that was The Fossils, or was that Rob Jones?
Oh, no, certainly that's part of The Fossils set.
Right.
But
what,
yeah.
What was the song called again?
Well, I called it The Greatest because it was kind of cobbled together from...
It sounded entirely made up of song...
It is, yes. Yeah. Every line's from someone, not
oh,
from
yeah.
me.
So it's sort of cannibalised.
It's a yeah. Oh, no, certainly. That's, I like yeah. that, yeah.
So you talked about DIY a punk opera is sort of some sort of autopsy.
Yes.
So there's a lot of sort of death imagery jumping around.
Musical autopsy is the perfect description of
what,
it.
In what way?
Well, you know, originally we had an opportunity to play, and, yep. you know, at its heart, it's 11 songs.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, you know, why am I doing this? Why are we doing this?
Mm.
And so I started to look at the motivation behind playing, you know. Mm. And I've been writing songs for 30 years.
Are these all your songs, the 11 songs?
Yes, all original. Yeah, I think that's the other side of, you know, part of my analysis, this
self-analysis
was, you know, getting to the reason why I write these songs. And one of them was about putting something back out into the universe, you know, because I'm an avid consumer of music.
Right.
And so, you know, the idea is, you know, you write something and it goes out.
Mm.
I mean, had limited audiences over the years, you know, sometimes we've had a cult following in certain bands I've been in,
uh-huh.
very localized.
Yeah.
And other times you just play for yourself. And
yeah.
so that's part of the motivation, but also, you know, trying to explain and coming to terms with what's going on around you in the world.
Right.
I guess.
I see.
So, yeah, so there'll be songs, and then hopefully I'll have a narrative thread that I'll talk in between songs and sort of link them together and, you know, you can have your own sort of opinion afterwards.
Right, so there'll be no spitting and throwing bottles and things like that.
Well, it just depends on the audience reaction. You know, if I feel the need for nudity or for spitting or for throwing bottles, I'm prepared to go there. But
was spitting
not.
A punk thing in New Zealand?
I'm not sure. You know, personally, I wouldn't encourage it.
No, especially not these days.
No, you know, especially post-COVID. Wearing a face mask. You know,
it's not great.
No, just make a mess of yourself.
I once saw the Ramones. I was lucky enough to see the Ramones in Bristol. And
awesome.
For some reason in England, that spitting thing was still a thing. And
right.
Joey Ramone was literally dripping in spit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he didn't look happy about it.
No.
And it's not very nice. It's
no, not many sort of situations where that would be something
no,
you look forward
no.
to. Eh?
Okay, so you're going to be talking about, so it's sort of, is it like a scripted sort of thing, or will you be free?
Well, there was a script. There was a script because I needed to, because I have a tendency to just completely ramble,
uh-huh.
which sometimes pays dividends and other times it's just really a dead end street.
Right.
So it is scripted,
yeah.
But I'm hoping, you know, I'm not going to rely on a script as we do it.
Right.
It'll hopefully it's stuck in my head somewhere.
Yeah. Cool. So you said you are an avid consumer of music. What sort of stuff do you love these days? Are you still listening to punk?
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Also, you know, I'm wide selection of musical taste, to be honest. Love Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
you know, yeah, just absolutely.
He's one of the people that punk rockers would have strung up if they
could. No, you got the old Sid Vicious covered
My Way.
My Way, didn't they?
It was slightly ironic, though, wasn't it?
So, certainly from Frank Sinatra through to, I don't know, what am I listening to at the moment?
Yeah, what's on your repeat playlist kind of thing?
So this morning, listened to reggae this morning.
Oh,
But bands, Parquet Courts, some post-punk modern band.
My daughter likes Parquet Courts. So.
But yeah, anything and everything, to be honest.
Yeah.
Love country and western.
Oh, my God.
Loretta Lynn passed away this week.
Did she? I didn't know that. That's quite I've always found country and western just quite inaccessible because it feels very repetitive.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. It's extremely repetitive.
in musical sort of structure and content, like the lyrics.
But, I mean, you know, if I look at the topics of music in general, songwriting, you know, they all sort of go back to that sort of weepy, feeling sorry for yourself sort of stuff, is a pivotal part of country and western.
Who have you seen, who were some standout gigs that you've been to in your lifetime?
Standout gigs, wow. Actually, the best gig I ever went to was in Christchurch, and it was the Mountain Goats.
Oh.
You ever heard of the Mountain Goats?
I've heard of them. Where are they from?
They're an American band. It's one guy, basically. He started off writing music and recording it on a boombox. And so it became part of his sound, the winding gears of the tape in the background. And he's more of a fully-fledged band now. But it was just him on guitar and a bassist. And it was in an old picture theatre. There used to be lots of picture theatres in Christchurch.
Right.
Pre-earthquake. And it was just, it had people riveted. There was only about 20 people there.
Yeah.
That
were you a fan or were you just,
I'd sort of stumbled across him a few months earlier and then, you know, by fate would have it that he was playing in Christchurch. So that's a gig. But I was lucky enough to go through, you know, Flying Nun in its heyday, Straitjacket Fits, The Clean, The Bats, Chris Knox, for example.
Right.
I mean, those.
So you've seen all those bands.
Yeah, those bands just, you know, David Kilgour, you know, guitarist of The Clean and solo artist. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And they've got that rough edge still. You know, you sort of feel as if the wheels could fall off at any moment. I do like that about music.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine, Matt, says that he likes music that feels broken.
Sort
of broken about it. I've always thought, that's a good way to
think of it. Great description,
Okay, well, let's have one. Have we got time for one more song? Do you want to do another song, or have you got one that you could do or not? If not, that's cool, because we're nearly out of time. I've got Stephen Bain coming in at 1:45, so...
I'll probably just leave it at that, if that's all right. Yeah, and otherwise I'd be dipping into songs for tonight.
And we don't want to...
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
So tonight we'll be a bit more punky and a bit more thrashy.
It'll be noisy. You know, our opening song... you know, I've talked up this big narrative of, you know, musical autopsy.
Yeah.
The first song's got nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's actually a song about a woman poisoning her husband. So, you know, there's a few random red herrings there. Maybe it does have something to do with it. Maybe that's my subconscious.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, it's certainly a lot of fun.
Doesn't sound like you're taking yourselves too seriously either.
I mean, certainly want to. I mean, the songs, I believe in the songs.
Yeah.
I think the songs are really good. Mm. And so I do want to get those across.
But there is something amusing about a punk band called The Fossils.
Oh, certainly,
Two of the personnel, one's in their 60s and one's in his 70s, which I guess they are probably original punks. And you said
Certainly are.
He'd opened for The Cure, and I didn't know that about Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, it turns out, is my colleague at Man Alive. So, yeah, he's never told me. I haven't told him my Kurt Cobain story either, which was that I met Kurt Cobain and Kurt Cobain told me to fuck off.
Fantastic.
And whenever I tell people that story, I say, well, did you get told to fuck off by Kurt Cobain?
And
the funny thing is all young people these days still know who Kurt Cobain is.
They do.
If you said I got told to fuck off by Johnny Rotten, they'd probably say, who's Johnny Rotten?
Exactly.
But anyway, well, great to meet you, Rob, and thanks for coming in. And you're playing at The Cave, which is a suitably punk venue.
Yeah, all Fossils in a Cave,
Fossils in a Cave, what's not to like? And at the Butter Factory. I'm glad the Butter Factory's still doing gigs, because there used to be a lot of live music there.
Yes, yeah. No, it's... and. you know, there's still live music there, I think, but it's certainly not what more fringier type of music. It's probably more music that's a bit more commercial.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, they've got to make money.
True. The day, yeah. So, I once saw Alien Weaponry there. Do you know Alien, the band Alien Weaponry?
From Waipu, yeah.
Yeah, and they were there, and it was pouring with rain, and there were about six of us standing outside.
Fantastic.
And now look at them.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah, no, great, great band. Yeah. Yeah,
so cool. All right, well, good to meet you, and good luck for this, well, sort of tonight, isn't it, 5:30 p.m.?
Yeah.
There's heaps of music on today.
Yes, there's lots. You could do a music crawl, to be honest, around town today.
You'd struggle to see everything, but we've got, you could go from DIY a punk opera to at the Butter Factory, up to Laldi at 7 o'clock, which is here, and then you could also then catch Lunavella afterwards. Are you a I've fan been, of Collapsing Cities or Lunavella?
Well, I just since I've seen the program, I've been sort of looking into them. Yeah, really good.
Dream pop, apparently.
Dream pop
is the genre.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you know is I quite like it. It's quite. It feels quite. You kind of like the song instantly because it's got that kind
of... Yeah, it's certainly very catchy. Yeah. yeah. No, good.
And then Kyle Fury and the Ray Guns are playing at Roost at 9 p.m. So you could catch as many as four gigs today if you were really focused on that. Okay, well, the next guests are here. So thanks for coming in, and we'll chuck... Have you got anything online? Oh, or
we do, actually.
Where are you?
The
on
Fossils?
Spotify?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if there are many bands called The Fossils. Do you think there are?
There could be a copyright thing at some stage. There's a band from India.
Is that you?
That's us.
Okay.
So Six Pack would be a great song. We're not playing this song tonight.
That's not the Black Flag song?
No.
Do you know the Black Flag song, Six Pack?
No, I don't.
Oh, they wrote one. Got a six pack and nothing to do, and then it's...
Right,
it's,
okay. Yeah. Well, this is probably similar, but
okay,
but not so much. But right. Anyway, yeah, Six Pack.
Here we go. That six pack was a... Oh, no, six pack didn't play. Sorry about that. That was a mistake. Never mind. Let's crack on with the next guest, which is Stephen Bain. And Stephen is here with The Drifting Room, which I've just been having a look at your website, actually, because I didn't realise...
Oh, I didn't realise either.
What, you didn't
realise? I'm very bad at maintaining websites. Oh. I don't know what you're like.
I don't have a personal website, but if you Google Stephen Bain performance art, your website
comes
up. Oh,
there you go. Oh, yeah.
Because someone said to me it was quite a coup for Whangarei Fringe to get you here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is nice to know, isn't it? And I guess performance art, would you say performance art is your...
Well, actually, I grew up through theatre, so I was a theatre director and designer, which is why I enjoyed your show last night. It was really great
Where were you doing that?
In Auckland and Wellington. I was in Wellington for 20 years and then Auckland since 2006.
Mostly directing theatre?
Yeah, directing and designing. For some reason, I wanted to put the two together.
Right.
I actually, this is too much of a long story, but I... started off studying architecture and then ended up going to drama school and becoming an actor.
Right.
And then, so actually, my natural path where I was leading towards was sort of directing and designing. Mm. So I would either do one or the other or try and put both together, which was a bit of a nightmare. But
and where did you study? Where did you study drama?
Oh, down in Wellington at Twyff Garden. Back in a million years ago, back in 1990.
Right.
That was the time.
So do you know any of the Twyff Garden people, for like Jan Fisher and people like that? Was she after you?
No, I don't know Jan Fisher.
Okay, because it's been going, because it was New Zealand Drama School before that.
That's right, yeah. So I was in the old place. That was a very, which was in Vivian Street.
Right. Was that before it became...
Yeah,
it
was a very different place than it is now.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, I'm sure.
I think there was 12 people in my year.
Right.
And it was a bit sort of less... how do I say that? Less pretentious than it is now. I don't know. That seems horrible to say.
No.
What I mean is, it was a little bit more. I don't know. It seemed like a simpler place.
Yeah.
Than it is now. But it's because I've had a little bit to do with it since then, it's become a very big institution now that actually has several different courses. And it's a wonderful course and a wonderful different. So I actually teach sometimes on the design course there, which is a Bachelor of Design, Performance Design.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's let's go forward a few thousand years to say that by about 2006 or 7, I started to get involved with public space stuff, doing stuff on the street, basically.
Right.
And that really lit my fire.
Performance or instantly? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it would be things a bit like what I'm doing now, little structures that exist in public places. And what I loved about that is that your audience were people who were just in the street.
Yeah.
So there was a different expectation.
Yeah.
And you're also kind of dialoguing or trying to speak to the city itself and make sense of that whole world, which is in some ways the same but opposite of what theatre does.
Right.
It's trying to make sense of society by looking at it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think stuff that happens in the street is trying to make sense of the world around it by entering into it.
Yeah, I see.
And so this performance is a bit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about The Drifting Room, because you've got four shows today and you've done one already, 10 o'clock, and you've got another one at 11?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, we're sold out for 11 o'clock.
Are you?
That's good. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, well, it's a very small theatre.
So you think of it as a structure that you've got, and it's got the word theatre on the side of it. Is that right?
So it's a magic theatre in the sense that the audience sit inside it, and they're able to walk around with it because it's quite light.
So they're carrying it.
They can carry it. Yes, it's very light.
Right.
But the magic thing is that you can see out of it, but you can't see into it.
Okay,
so everyone in the world, it's just a building that looks like this white building with theatre written on it. For the people inside, they can see their surroundings.
So you can't see the feet of the people?
You can see the feet.
Ah.
That's a bit of a giveaway.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's moving as well.
That's right.
So that's another giveaway, that it's a moving building.
That's right.
But so it's sort of kind of anonymity for the people inside it.
Yeah.
And then is it the reactions of the people that they're coming towards that where are they walking on the pavement, the sidewalk? Or?
Yeah, well, we've got a route that we've marked out.
Yep.
And what we do is enter into a fourth dimension, which is time. So we actually go forward 100 years and observe what Whangarei was back in the year 2022 with hindsight of what we know in the future.
Oh, I see. So when you step inside the drifting room, you're catapulted forward in time.
Exactly.
And you're looking back. Okay, so who is someone narrating that?
Yeah,
is that,
that's right. Okay, yeah, right. Myself or Sarah Jane.
Right, is Sarah Jane out there?
Yeah, she is out there.
Does she want to come and join
us? Yeah, let's see. I'll give her a little tap.
Yeah. She's welcome to. So are you both operating the drifting room?
Yeah, that's right. We tag team it.
Right, so one at a time.
That's right. We had an interesting time putting this project together because we would workshop it every week or so and just have a fun time trialling things.
Right.
A lot of trial and error, a lot of kind of just trying to make our imaginations work with the everyday environment.
Right.
Hello, Sarah.
Welcome,
Jane.
Sarah Jane.
Hello, hi.
Are you a collaborator just on this project with Stephen, or are you just collaborating on lots of things, or?
We've collaborated on a few things.
Yep.
I suppose I was at the beginning of your the first reiteration of this project, the Floating Theatre.
That's right.
And we actually built the theatre in an old factory space, which we flooded. But it's kind of using that same shape, I suppose. But this is yet another reiteration.
So was that a floating, like, literally a floating theatre?
And then it did become a floating theatre. So Stephen had it on a barge in the viaduct. And
Wow.
That was a very big project.
It was a very big project.
It involved lots of machinery and stuff.
Yeah.
So is there funding for this sort of stuff? Like,
it's getting harder and harder and harder and harder.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing about doing stuff in the street or doing stuff like this, is that you have a real autonomy.
Yeah.
You're not actually dependent on things like funding.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really important because, as I'm sure you know, it's getting harder and harder to access those funds, and so we have to be a little bit more selective and precious about it, I think.
Right. Yeah. So what sort of experience are you wanting people to have in the drifting room?
Oh, An enjoyable way,
right? So it's
they'll look at their immediate surroundings completely from a new perspective.
Right. So you're kind of Stephen was just saying before you came in that you sort of set it up that they're in a time they've sort of travelled forward in 100 years in time, so they're looking back at Whangarei as it was in 2022. Imagining that they're in 2122.
Yeah.
And is that an imaginative leap that people are easily able to make? And how do they feed that back to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the main thing is we all go through life on automatic a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And we need these little shakes to go, actually look what's happening around you. And I loved the work of the Situationist International movement from the 1950s, where they would do things like they would overlay the map of one city onto another, so they'd walk through Chicago as if it was New York, for example. Or they would do imaginative things called psychogeography, where they would just walk around the streets thinking about things and the psychology of a place rather than the maps and the physical things.
Right.
So there's ways of looking at a city differently that actually just spark you back into reality and go, oh, what actually is around me?
Yeah.
Rather than this automatic thing we have of we're on our journey, we're going to this place.
Yeah.
One of the things we did as a sort of experiment for this is we did some drifting sessions, which is where you get together in a group and then you go nowhere, you just drift. So there's
in what like walking or in a...
Yeah, walking.
Oh.
So there'll be one person leading at a time.
Yeah.
And then you don't try and go anywhere. You just sort of follow your nose.
Yeah.
And then you follow whoever's leading for a while. And then you become someone, and then someone else will take the lead.
Right.
And what happens is the whole world around you sort of changes because you look at things curiously. You go, oh, that's a tree. Why don't we go and have a look at the tree?
Yeah.
Which we never do in real life. We're on our way to get to somewhere.
True, yeah.
So they're just little strategies to make us think about our environment differently.
Yeah,
really.
And I guess that's the function of art broadly, isn't it? No matter what art is. And the Situationists, I guess they're not that well known these days. I mean, the only thing I know about them is they used to go in the Paris riots. They'd go and put some deck chairs out and sit in deck chairs during the Paris riots in 68.
Yeah.
You know, like sort of changing the frame, like putting a different frame around an event.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those movements that every now and then gets talked about, but it's actually been integrated into lots of things now.
Yeah.
So we do access that work in a lot of different ways.
Mm. Right, so are you both inside the theatre when it's going, or do you take it in turns, or do you need...
One at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah, take it in turns.
It depends how many audience there are in there,
right?
Because it can get pretty snug.
I was thinking that. Not for claustrophobics, maybe.
Yeah.
And are you steering it? How do you steer? Like, how do you drive it or direct it?
Well, we do a little bit of a manoeuvring session at the beginning.
To train people up.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Yeah, otherwise it could be a lethal weapon.
Uh-huh. And what about the other pedestrians? Do they have to get out of the way? Is that...
Well, it's a bit of a negotiation because suddenly everyone in the city is... Oh, you need to go. Yeah,
I need to go do the next one.
Great. Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you. Yeah, we better wrap this up because I think the next guests are here as well.
Great. Yeah, it's a bit of a negotiation. People need to figure out, I'm suddenly sharing the pavement with a building, which is walking.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a bit of a mind shift.
And do you ever get sort of negative reactions? Do people generally just...
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do they ever sort of, shout at you or inquire as to what you're doing kind of thing?
Yeah, I've had some interesting reactions, not with this production, but with other ones where you start messing with traffic. People get very annoyed when you do that.
Yeah.
They feel like street is for cars. And if you interfere with that you're ruining their autonomy.
Yeah.
And so that's really
interesting, isn't it? That sort of mentality of being in a car.
Yeah. So
and people behaving in ways that they would never behave if they were not in a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Exactly. It sounds like a really interesting event. What do you call it? A show? An event?
I don't know.
Happening?
Performance.
A performance.
The performance sort of keeps things open.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want it to be, I suppose.
And the people inside the theatre are performers. Would you think of them as that? Or are they spectators?
Right. Participants.
Participants.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very hung up on definitions, aren't we?
Now.
Yeah. Anyway, Stephen, it's been great to meet you. Thanks so much for bringing this to Whangarei Fringe. And it's so cool that we've got such a nice, diverse range of types of performance and types of event. And
yes,
today,
beautiful looking festival. Oh. I went to a show last night, which was very enjoyable, but the whole vibe of it is great.
Cool, yeah. And today's like the climax of the festival. There's like 30 events
on.
Oh,
really? Wow.
And it's nice, people like you making up four of them. Is it exhausting to do four things in one day? Or?
Well, that's why there's two of us. We sort of tag teaming.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'm hoping to catch the 12 o'clock drift. Because it's from here, isn't it?
That's
at 12
right.
o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
And are you sold out yet?
They're not all sold out.
Okay, so I should book?
12 o'clock is fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But you should book because it's very limited.
Okay, okay, cool. Right. I'll try.
And tomorrow we're going to base ourselves down by the museum, the art museum. We're going to leave from outside the art museum.
That's right, yeah.
So we'll do a different route down
Great.
There.
Okay, cool.
Just
awesome.
Mix it up.
All right, lovely to meet you, Stephen.
Awesome.
Thanks
you
for coming in.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers. Okay, well, the next guests are coming in. I'm going to play that song Six Pack by The Fossils. Hopefully it'll work this time. Here we go. The Fossils, Six Pack, and they didn't know that there is a song by Black Flag called Six Pack, which is, as far as I can tell, a classic punk song. So interesting that they came up with the same title. They're playing tonight at 5:30 p.m. at the Cave at the Butterfactory, and there's lots of music on today, and there's also music on tomorrow. And we've got our next guests in the studio are King Tide, which is Luke and Summer. And they're going to play, I don't know, a couple of songs.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
They're just plugging in right now.
Hello,
should we kick off with a song, or should we have a talk, or what do you feel?
Whatever you want to do, Sums.
Let's play.
Okay, yeah. Let's play a song. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, you go for it.
We'll start with a song called Pillow Lips. This is the
opening song of our set.
Pillow Lips.
Pillow Lips.
Right. So what's that all about? Botox?
Filler.
No. Filler. Yeah.
This is a song about a guy that I went on a date with and stood me up in it and made me angry, so I wrote it.
Oh. Did he have pillow lips or?
And he called me pillow lips, and I just thought that was the ultimate, like.
Because Luke's lips are lush.
Are they?
I was like, what a line. He was a sleazy.
He was.
Okay.
Are we allowed to use the swear
words? We encourage it on Beagle Radio.
Oh, great. Fuck yes.
Were you never a Beagle DJ, Summer?
No.
Oh God, you missed out.
That's, I know.
That was, you know. We don't have any advertisers, so we've got no one to piss off.
Yeah, good.
And if anyone doesn't like swearing, they're listening to the wrong station.
They can just tune into. Or something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they can just fuck off.
Yeah,
but
yeah. No. I mean, they can too. Yeah.
Right, okay, Pillow Lips, here we go.
How we go for volume? I'll turn it down a little bit. Ready?
Yeah.
Am I ready? Yeah, I guess so.
If I slip, but if I
Something like that.
Wow.
Oh, that was great. I really hope the vocals came out because they're beautiful. I mean, I can see what Hayley's talking about, your voice, very sort of... we were talking about it last night. You're talking about, you know, voices that express yearning. And who, I was thinking, how would you describe your voice? Like, what...
My voice?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know, it's quite deep, isn't it? It's deep.
Yeah.
And also, like, I went through a process of classical training, so I've...
Actually, hold on. We need to get you nearer a microphone, because you're going to sound like you're 100 miles away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you just slide those two chairs around, so you can actually sort of sit down and get up close to the mic. Can you sit down somewhere, or...
Yeah.
With your guitar on, or... Cool, because it's Beagle Radio, so these are okay mics, but they're not fantastic.
Yeah.
Hello,
So let's just talk about both your voices, because you've both got quite distinctive voices, and I thought they're beautiful together.
Yeah.
So tell us about your voice.
Well, I mean, Summer and I are both we're the same. We both went through like a classical voice training.
Right.
For upwards of 10 years.
Yeah. And then I...
Really?
Really? I thought I was going to be an opera singer.
Same.
And then I ended up going to drama school instead in summer.
So you were together at Toy Fakari?
Yeah, we were in the same class.
Yeah. Okay. And so were you having classical voice training when you were a kid?
Nine. I started when I was nine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never really knew that.
Yeah.
So was it fun?
No.
Oh.
I mean, if Evelyn you ever hear this, I love you. It's my singing teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't fun.
Right.
It was rigorous.
Yeah.
And
a bit like training to be a swimmer or something like that. You had to keep at it. And
100%. And I just did not want to do the homework.
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason I bring it up is because we...
Because I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, that's the thing when you're a kid, isn't it? If it's not fun.
Yeah.
But I did
But you stuck at it.
Did it for... Yeah.
Was that your mum behind you going...
Nah, that was me going...
Yeah.
I'm going to be the best.
Yeah.
So you thought you were going to be an opera singer, Luke?
Well, I was training with John Kinaway up here, and then I was part of Opera North, and I was like, I love opera and the chorus of opera and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people I knew were going down that path.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is a thing I can do. Let's follow it.
Yeah. So are you from up here as well?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Never knew that.
So we were in High School Musical on stage together circa 2009.
At Whangarei Theatre Company?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. But
I
don't remember Luke being one of the kind of crowd that you hung out with here then. Were you? Was he? Or?
I only had about four friends.
Still do. I wasn't really a part of like the NYT crowd.
No.
I was a little bit shy and nerdy, so I was too scared. I thought like Northern Youth Theatre crowd were like the cool kids.
Yeah.
And I was always too afraid to approach that scene, and it's not until I've been to Toy and then come back and I'm like, oh, there's all these amazing actors and creatives who are from Whangarei that I like didn't
shied
even know.
From.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you ended up at Toy Fakari together.
Yeah.
And is this your first sort of collaboration, or have you done other stuff together? Have you done theatre together, or?
We did shows at Toy together. We haven't done anything professionally since then.
No.
And how long ago was that you finished at Toy?
Graduated 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
So 5 years.
Oh my God.
And some of you've done, I saw you at the Globe once doing, was it Amelia? Was that the show? Oh no, that wasn't.
No,
you
I
were
wasn't.
In the Measure
was,
for Measure.
I was Ophelia.
In Hamlet.
That's right, in Hamlet.
And, yeah.
And Measure for
and
Measure,
you're also, because
yeah.
it was that double.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Ophelia.
Yeah.
I
didn't see you as Ophelia, but I saw Measure for Measure.
You would have loved it.
Yeah.
It was bonkers.
Was it?
Yeah.
Just balls to the wall.
And you went on tour and you did that like every night for over a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Touring round.
We did a whole New Zealand tour and then we went over to Perth for 3 months.
So the Globe toured, how did you do, like, did you do it just in normal venues?
Yeah, big theatres around the country,
Cool. Mm. All right, so what else have you been up to, you guys been up to since then?
Oh, you know, just depression holes and...
long periods of unemployment. And,
trying to find other ways to earn money and then getting really sad that it's not acting and being like, wow, I got a degree in this and here I am.
Just deep yearning for a career that just doesn't seem to want to land in my...
Yeah.
But this seems, I mean, this is something, this is... Seems great. Like it's a great.
Yeah.
It seems like a natural kind of thing for you guys to be doing.
It feels like it's been a bit of a lifeline for you, and then also for me realizing that music is actually a massive part of my life.
Yeah,
and I love to write.
Yeah,
like I would love to be a songwriter for other people. Like I just want to be around music, but I don't necessarily want to be the face of it. But being able to work with Summer, I'm like, we're just constantly writing new stuff, and it feels so good because I haven't done this in ages.
Ah. Yeah. So are you, do you collaborate on the songwriting, or do you, how does it, do, are you...
It depends. Mm. Sometimes I will come into the room and be like, I've written a song and this is exactly what I want you to play.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's not right, do it again.
Yeah, nope, E-flat, okay, and on the third,
On the third, not, right. No, you're doing it on the second, do it on the third. Sometimes I'll come in and I'll be like, this, I've got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we grow it together?
Yeah.
Or Luke's like, I really want to write like a broody, depressing country song about a man wandering through purgatory. But I want it to be a conversation, so you have to write your parts. Uh-huh. I know what the melody goes like, but you have to write the words.
Right.
So it changes. And then sometimes Luke will be like, I need guitar on this, like for Pillow Lips. That's completely Luke's song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't sound very angry for a stand-up,
no.
It was getting stood-up song.
No, it was...
No.
It is more broody. That's kind of my vibe.
Mm.
I was just like, screw you for calling me really nice things and then dropping off the face of the earth.
Right.
And
so
the song's about that willingness to be like, oh, someone's really into me, this is great, this is perfect, and then being like, no, it was all a lie.
Mm. Yeah.
Our balance is quite nice because... Luke sings a lot of love songs and like storyline based songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go from please be my friend, let's all be friends, to fuck you for not understanding me.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm too much? Like, yeah, so together we have a nice covering a lot of bases.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, I hate to, you know, not to pigeonhole, but genre-wise, how would you describe yourself in musical terms? Like,
it's hard.
Like,
I mean, King Tide as a band, I would probably say is pop.
Yeah.
With heavy rock influences.
Uh-huh.
From Summer's
from me.
Side.
Right. Yeah. Right. So loud, we can expect sort of quite loud, rah, kind of, as well as the more brooding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And some really sweet stuff that will put you in a trance.
And it's all original stuff. It's all original
stuff. We're playing
one
cover.
Uh huh. What do you
play? We're playing I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt.
I would like to sing that now.
We could. Okay. Yeah.
By who, sorry?
By Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, Raitt.
Yeah.
Do you say Raitt? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Raitt.
I've actually never said it.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Yeah, she's a country singer mostly, isn't she?
Yeah, and that's a song that, I don't know, I don't know where I heard it. Maybe my parents played it.
Dad plays it a lot.
Yeah, and I became a bit obsessed with it, and it's like stuck in my mind as one of the most beautiful songs that's ever written.
Wow.
So I'm going to play it.
And we've sort of come on a journey with that song. Like, I remember when you first said, I want to play this song, and started learning the right hand for the piano, and I just very distinctively remember being like, this is going to be really hard for you.
Yeah.
Like, what a challenge.
To play.
Yeah.
To physically play with his hands on the piano.
Oh. Because it's that complicated?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's just...
And then, fucking 3 months later, he's like, let's jam.
Oh.
And just had it.
Has that always been your instrument, Luke?
The piano.
Okay.
Yeah. I've tried to learn others, but... I mean, I started piano when I was 8.
Right.
So it's natural to me. And everything else, like, I've got a bass at home that I'm trying to teach myself. And I'm, like, still at the stage of just playing Smoke on the Water, you know?
Yeah. So you're going to play this Bonnie Raitt song, and I'm going to plug this mic. I'm going to put the extension lead on so that we can get it a bit nearer, because I'm a bit worried that the instruments are covering your voices a bit. Do you both sing on this one?
We both sing, but I don't play.
Oh, I see. So you can hold the mic and...
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's get that set up, because we've got someone else coming in at 11:30, and I want to make sure we've got time for at least one more song.
Of course!
Yay!
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's such fun. I'm having so much fun doing this.
Yeah?
It's
untrue, yeah.
And endless amounts of people playing music to be like,
well, today as well, and like when you meet people and you kind of get a bit of, you get to hear a bit about their show and about them, and you just want to go and see their show.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that mic, and we'll just have this one picking up the keyboard. It's all very Beagle Radio, but okay. So what was the song called again, Luke?
I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt.
Right.
You can find that out later.
Okay.
It's R-A-I-T.
T. No, it's two T's.
Ah.
Is it rat?
I don't know.
Bonnie Raitt!
Yeah, it's probably Bonnie Raitt. That makes more sense.
Yeah, okay.
Cool as, let's do this. That's nice, cool, sweet.
Voices inside my head, lay down with me, tell me no lies, just hold me close, don't patronize me, don't patronize. I can't make you love me if you don't. You can't make your heart feel something it won't. Here in the dark, in these final hours, I will lay down my heart. I feel power, but you won't. No, you won't. 'Cause I can't make you love me if you don't. The love you don't feel when you're holding me. Morning will come and I'll do what's right. Just give me till then to give up this fight. And I will give up this fight. Something in a world in the dark, in these final hours, I will lay down my heart. I feel power, but you won't. Oh, you won't, 'cause I can't make you love me. Power.
Wow.
Another sad song.
Yeah. Talk about yearning. Wow.
I know. Bonnie Raitt is a fucking boss bitch.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah.
God, I've never really...
She's fierce.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of her country stuff is really like... But, man, fuck, some of her songs are just like...
Right in your guts.
And the original of it, there's this insane piano solo that just goes for like 5 minutes and she's like crazy. Wailing over the top of it and... Whew. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, wow, your voice. Pretty great voice, isn't she?
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. So that's going to be on in your set tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yes,
sorry, my bad.
Is.
And you're playing here with Honey and Wildfire.
Sure are.
And they're quite an interesting band because they do some a cappella, like unaccompanied stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they sang a couple of songs.
Very harmonic.
Yeah. Okay, so, we've got like 2 minutes left. So have you got something, have you got a song we could do in 2 minutes or 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, right. Two is arriving. She's saying, take your time. I think since you're here and you've got all your gear, and
yeah,
you
might as well
do another song.
Yeah. Totally.
What do you want to do?
Okay, in Beagle today on, what day is that, Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Two queers in Beagle on a Saturday.
Where are you going with this?
Is this helping you decide what you should say?
It is, yes. This is where we are. This is who we are.
Yeah.
What do we want to say right now?
We could do The Well, or we could do Blue, or we could do one of yours. If you want to get out the gap.
Nah.
You don't want to do that? You just want to sing?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Well?
Let's do The Well.
Tell us
okay.
about The Well.
So The Well is the broody.
Yeah, The Well is the song that.
Oh, no, the
broody country
one.
Song.
Well,
oh,
sort of broody.
Song, right.
Sort of broody. It's about a cowboy that goes to the desert to die because he's.
And then he meets me, another lonely traveler. And I go, hey, how about we be lonely together? Wink, wink. And Luke goes, but I'm gay. And then inside my head, I'm going, yeah, me too. I was just trying to be... It's just a fun story,
I
guess.
Is one of yours that you came in and said, or was it one of Luke's?
It was one of Luke's. This is Luke's brain, baby.
I need you to be this character.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sort of. I wrote the verse and then was like, what are we going to do?
It just sort of spiraled.
Right.
It's kind of a song that it's strange, but it brings us joy to play.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's get low.
Let's do it.
See if I can remember the words.
Mm-hmm. So this is The Well.
Cool. There's no more water in the well. Keep walking. Rain long ago stopped in the sky. If you're searching for a parting word of wisdom, I'm afraid I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. I'll walk the plank with pride, tell the sky my lies.
Do you have a sip to drink, kind sir? It's been awful long since I've had company. Oh, this desert heat confirms the rumors. This is where a man goes to deserve. When you disappear,
there's no more water in the well. Stopped in the sky. If you're searching for a parting word of wisdom, I'm afraid I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. I'll walk the plank with pride, tell the sky my lies.
Is there more to this than we can see? Here we are marooned, what kind of destiny? Show me yours and I'll show you mine. Lovers are burdens to untrained eyes. The last of my melancholy I can't deny. There's no more water in the well. Keep dreaming. Rain long ago stopped in my eyes. Back now, after I kissed him, find me in his morning sky. Hollow behind the eyes, no one asks me why. We both know it's a lie. When I say I'm not his guy.
Wow, fantastic. That's The Well by King Tide. Live on Beagle Radio. I hope it sounded as good on air as it did in here. It's fantastic.
Amazing.
A cool song. Oh, really nice to see you both. And
totally.
I think tomorrow night's going to be amazing. You're playing with playing here at 116.
6 p.m.
And the tickets are $15, like everything else, $15 or $10, which is really great value. And No one's getting rich. And come along and enjoy yourself, because we've got so much great stuff on at Whanganui Fringe. And it's great to have you guys back. Mm.
Yes, and, please come and listen to us croon and shout.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thank you. So you're not on Spotify? You've got anything on YouTube?
No, we haven't actually made anything physical yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Although Summer is.
I am with my other band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is great.
Called Her Own Medicine.
Right. Are you still with your Her Own Medicine?
Oh yeah, but our my band's like all of the boys are so busy.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to get together, but
yeah, how many of you are there in Her Own Medicine?
Four. It's a 3-piece band and me.
Right.
All summer.
Okay. Give us a song to play while we're switching over.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes. Which one do you want to play?
I want an upbeat
one, because we just played three slow ones.
I think that's the first. I want to see the list of all of them.
Oh. Loose Ends is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with Loose Ends. Okay. So this is Summer's other band, Her Own Medicine, and Loose Ends.
Oh,
Shorter, welcome back to Fringe Radio. Sorry to fade that out, Summer, but we're on a bit of a tight schedule now. We're trying to finish by 12. Whoa! Sorry. Welcome to Beagle Radio. Tui's mic just went for a... I think if you just sort of screw that back on.
You do that, but I'll hold this.
For some reason it's cracked, and so it just...
Gravity.
It sort of hangs there, kind of.
It again.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a reasonably good mic, so something about there should pick up your voice and the instrument. So Tui Mamaki is here talking about the show that she's doing, which is at the Octagon on Sunday, tomorrow. Two shows, one at 3, one at 9, and she describes it as songs from beneath the hood of a mother, songs for the sleepless and the hopeful, songs about breaking open and beyond, milk, lullabies, rage and kindness. Rhythms, I like this bit, rhythms from the asymmetrical east. Right, which east is that?
These are rhythms I've learnt in Bulgaria. So right. Going towards the Black Sea, towards Turkey, and they've got incredible odd meter rhythms. So they're quite destabilizing.
Did you go there to study them? Did you
I
learn
did.
Them there? Wow.
I did.
So that's Bulgarian, is it polyphony? Is that what they call it? Or
yeah, so the polyphony part will tie into what I'll tell you about those workshops a little bit later.
Okay.
But these rhythms are for a single voice or a single percussion.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start with a song and then have a talk. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song that's about letting go of yourself as you know it, becoming a witness, really, rather than a driver in life.
Wow. Cool.
Got my wee little Martin here, but in the show I'll play my electric guitar.
Cool.
Lulled above sober, wipe the morning clean, long grasses shimmer in the curious pass over, they wipe the dreaming clean, long love's shimmer in the curious breeze. Myself is falling, this paper burn from the earth below me, galloping of your heart discern, galloping of your heart discern, the galloping of your heart discern, galloping of your the darkness in, blinded mother learns to see again, a blinded mother learns to see again. Myself is folded,
Oh, that was beautiful. What was the song called again, sorry?
Clouds Pass Over.
Clouds Pass Over. So I'm guessing from the description of the show, becoming a mother has been quite a source of inspiration for you, would you say?
It's been a shattering, miraculous, dissolution of, you get to being in your adulthood and you have plans and ideas and identities, and then you become responsible for a small miracle and you just get dissolved. Mm. It's been very, very cool and confronting.
Mm.
And I wasn't planning to write. I wrote an album just before the pregnancy and I released it while pregnant with a big belly on stage, which was really fun.
Mm.
And I thought I'd take a break. But the process itself had songs to do. So they would come in faster than ever before. And there's really 20-minute slots that you'd get given, between feeds and nappies and whatever. Suddenly you'd hear the song come through. So this show are those songs.
So they'd come through in those little gaps and would they come fully formed or would they just be
sometimes
an idea?
Sometimes they would. Sometimes they'd come fully formed and you'd just hear them and write them down. And some of them are, trouble songs that you use to make sense of something. And others are really about grace and gratitude because you've left all the other stuff behind.
Mm. Reminds me of Patricia Grace. Apparently she just wrote her short stories in the gaps between being a mum as well. And quite amazing that was possible, because it's an all-consuming thing, isn't it, being a parent? So are these songs all from that sort of that time after your child's been born? How old is your child now?
He's 3.5.
Right.
And it's songs from these last 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And before that you were a performer and a songwriter as well, so have you always been your thing?
It has been increasingly my thing. Mm. I started off in theatre when I was in my early 20s and went through towards music, following gravity. You just can't hold it back. Mm. So it's become more and more of a thing for me.
Great. And so your show is just, it's a solo show. You'll be playing solo on stage at the Octagon.
Yeah, I'll have my electric guitar and a tampura, which is a drone instrument from the Indian vocal tradition, which is amazing to sing with. It just creates this sort of spooky bit of sound and you can improvise with it.
Right, cool. Okay, so can you just tell us a little bit about, you want to talk about your workshops as well while you're here, so do you want to go ahead and do that?
So I don't know when this is going to go to air, but
it's going to air now, but it's also being recorded as a podcast, so you can listen back.
So 1 p.m. today at Just Thrive down on John Street, I'm doing a workshop for people who want to sing together in different languages. So we're going to sing in French and Bulgarian and Moravian, which is from old Czech Republic.
Wow.
Any level, open to all. And next Saturday, I'm doing Introduction to Bulgarian Polyphony, which you were mentioning earlier, which has been my other great love. Apart from writing my own songs, I've been studying Bulgarian folk songs. I lived there for a few years and have a lot to share. It's a very beautiful, intricate, powerful.
Is it like the Mystère des Voix Bulgares? Is it that sort of singing?
Absolutely.
Because that was made popular by, I can't remember who it was in England, someone recorded that and put it out on 4AD Records.
Yeah.
And I saw them live once in England, and it's just incredible music, isn't it?
It is. So I was studying with that choir.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
what are they called, the choir?
They're called Le Mystère des Voix Bulgares still, but that was the Swiss label that branded them that way. Before that, they were the Bulgarian State Radio and Television Women's Choir.
That's right, because it was under communism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, so that's a different workshop from the one that you're running today. So a different. But is it also accessible to people who aren't already singers? Okay, great.
Yeah, it's an open level introduction to it. So and that one, they've got a way of producing the voice, which is really different.
Right.
Like in the West, we think of there being a head voice and a chest voice.
Mm.
For them, there is no such thing. There's just one voice, and it all comes out in the open in the middle, which is an interesting provocation.
Cool. Okay, so that one's next Saturday at 1 p.m. at Just Thrive. It's a 3-hour workshop, $30 or $25. And if you go to the Whangarei Fringe website and search up Bulgarian Polyphony, the Daughters of Orpheus, that will take you to that event finder page.
And there's still spaces on your workshop today.
Yep.
What's that workshop called?
World of Voice.
World of Voice.
World of Song, World of Voice.
Right. And that's the one. So that one is at Just Thrive, and it runs for 2.5 hours, starting at 1 p.m. So you're kind of on your way there now, really.
Yes.
Just Thrive is at 50 John Street, quite easy to find. And you can probably still buy tickets online, or can people pay at the door for that one as well? Cool. And then your performance, The Moon and the Machine, Songs from Beneath the Hood of a Mother, is tomorrow at 3 p.m. and tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Octagon Theatre, which is a lovely intimate little space.
Absolutely.
Have you been there before?
Yes.
Yeah, and it'll be really, I think, good for this sort of music, intimate. And that's $30 or $20, and it's also a one-hour show. So, Tui, thanks very much for coming in. Sorry it's been a bit of a rush, and we've got the awkward guys outside waiting to come in. So good luck with your workshop and your performances tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you, Damien.
Okay, bye.
Awesome job.
And while we're switching over, I will play Farewell by Her Own Medicine. Radio, sorry to fade that one out. Summer 2 didn't manage to play a complete Her Own Medicine track, but never mind, they played three great songs in the studio. I'm sure everyone could hear it from outside as well because of the amazing voices. So now we've got Awkward in the studio. So we've got Joel McCarthy, Simon Kay, and Henry Yan. Say it again.
Yeah, either.
Okay, right, okay. It's important to get the names right. So how long have you guys been performing together?
This is our very first proper show together. Oh. So this is like the debut of the show.
Right.
But we're from the Auckland kind of comedy circuit, and we all kind of started a similar time, like 2020.
Right.
And it's all kind of been on like a few open mics and the odd pro show together.
Right. So are you all up on stage together, or are you doing your own little sections, or?
Yeah, our own separate times. We're going to split an hour between us. Maybe not necessarily all evenly between us, but we'll all contribute to the hour.
And how do you work it out? Like, who decides, like, when do you, have you got like a,
well, I'm selfish, so I'm going to do 55.
We're going to fight it out for the remainder of the hour. Okay.
So you're not sort of tag teaming, you're just like doing this.
It'll be about 20, roughly. Right.
And is your comedy sort of similar in style and content? Or like, how would you, Henry, why don't you tell us a bit about yours to start off with? Is it like,
it's good.
it is the good kind.
It is the good kind?
Yeah, it's good
stuff.
There's
no shit, there's no like, bad jokes or...
Oh no, there's many.
There's many bad jokes, right. Yeah, so don't come.
What do you draw on? Do you draw on, because I've had a few of the comedians at Fringe in here and they're always quite good storytellers, and they've often, they do seem to do interesting things in their life, or they're good at going off on like a surreal kind of flight of fancy. So
I feel like you either do interesting stuff or you make up that you do interesting stuff.
Yeah, very good at that.
right. So what's the sort of what's the sort of material? Is it like, are you very obscene? Are you very kind of
Oh, man, I don't know about... Yeah, maybe we can just go through each of us, but...
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You start. I just try to be normal.
Normal?
Yeah.
Okay. Try. Key word.
Okay, try. So you don't want people to think you're weird or
I well, ain't.
So when did you decide you were funny? Like, when did you think... when did you think I could be a stand-up comedian? Were you a little shit at school, giving people a hard time and getting lots of laughs, or...?
Yeah, I would say I got in trouble a lot, I suppose, at school.
Yeah?
Yeah, so... I don't know. Yeah.
Oh.
You wouldn't think it?
No.
Yeah, nah, but yeah.
What did you get in trouble for? Like,
just talking a lot, eh?
Oh, yeah. So when was your first sort of outing as a comedian?
I don't know. Sometimes you just try stuff and it works and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can do this.
There must have been a day when you actually had a microphone in front of you and an audience and you were like, I'm...
Oh, yeah, I did a presentation for university and everyone was serious and mine was just stupid stuff. And people liked it.
Really?
So I was like, okay.
So you were sort of taking the piss a bit, were you?
Pretty much, yeah. And people just liked it. So I was like, better live life being stupid, I suppose.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you all similar sort of age? Are you kind of like, or are you...
You're all like mid-20s.
Yeah. So have you all been on the scene for about the same amount of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of us have been about a couple of years. We've all sort of been a part of each other's journey.
Right.
We've got to see each other. It's been really cool.
Right. And is it true that someone was saying yesterday, I had Jack Ansett in here yesterday, and he was saying... you can. Some people get up to 10 minutes of material, and that's as far as they go. Then you get up to half an hour, and you can do a split bill show.
Yep.
And then the holy grail is to have an hour show by yourself, which sounds like quite a big thing to do. An hour of you just.
Yeah, I think the real hard thing is an hour of good jokes.
Yeah,
I think writing an hour of bad material. We've all got many hours of bad material.
Oh, okay,
getting to the hour of good stuff is the dream.
Right. So, Joel, tell us a little bit about you. When was your first sort of stand-up moment? When did you break into it?
So I came into it through something that's known as the Raw Comedy Quest. It's just like an annual comedy competition that's run between the different clubs.
Yeah.
And coming from Auckland, we get the Classic on Queen Street, which is the biggest comedy club in the country. So that's where I got my start.
Right.
Just signed up for that. Not really super sure what it was at the time.
Uh-huh.
Thought it might just be a night event where maybe the winner gets a couple free drinks, and then it ended up being a bit more significant a competition than I realised. But made my way through that just after the second lockdown in 2020.
Right.
Just wanted something to do after lockdown and got into it.
And who's a comedian that you like? Love. Who's a comedian that you...
We were talking about this on the way up, about who our inspirations might be. I was going to say there's this guy, Mitch Hedberg, who's an American comedian who passed away about 20 years ago. But he was very absurd, quite innocent, one-liners that he wouldn't necessarily try to drag out a joke for as long as he wanted.
Was he like in a wheelchair or something?
He'd wear sunglasses a lot and he was very awkward. I think he had quite a lot of issues with substance abuse.
What's his name again? Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg, yeah. Right, he's got great albums on Spotify.
Has he?
Really just like silly one-liners.
Right.
But like objectively genius.
Right. So what about you, Simon? Who do you reference when you're...
My favourite is James Acaster.
Oh, okay.
He's just like, for me, the perfect combination of like silly and absurd, but also like quite clever. There's quite like some good underlying messages under the jokes and everything's quite well thought out.
Uh-huh.
So that's
what you would aspire to in your...
That's what
comedy.
I aspire to. I like to think I'm a bit... I have some elements of him, but I probably don't have as many elements as I like to think I do.
Right.
He's also got this kind of like awkward kind of energy that just like, and that, I think that's why we call the show Awkward, because we all have this kind of like certain element of our, slightly different, but all a certain element of our material or show or style of performing that is a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Like in a good way, you know. Like,
there's something appealing about it, I think, when you're watching someone who's not, I'm all that, you know, there's sort of, it's a humility maybe or something, you know. And we had Thomas Chapman, I don't know if you know Thomas Chapman,
he
was in here recently and he just... For me, epitomised awkward. Like he, he told this very funny story about going to an orgy, which wasn't even in his show. And I was like, why isn't it in your show? And he's like, oh, that's just my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, perhaps you've got to be quite brave and also quite humble as well. What about you, Henry? Who's your go-to kind of comedian, all-time favourite?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Michael McIntyre.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. I haven't heard his name come up much.
Oh, man, he's like a Brit, but he's so good.
I know. What do you like about him?
I just like how he's just like... just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like people think he's dumb, but he's actually very smart.
Yeah. I mean, he's quite popular. He's got quite a profile, hasn't he?
Because he portrays himself as dumb, and everything he says is a dumb, like it seems dumb, but yeah, you have to read between the lines, I think. Yeah.
Right. So what's been some high points for you in your careers so far? Like what's been like the dream gig where it just all came together and you were in the zone and...
Tonight.
This is
the night, people.
Okay, right. Something special's going to happen for Henry. If you know,
for us.
What about dying on stage? Have you ever had a moment where you thought this is like murder?
At least once a week.
Is that how often you're performing? Are you really doing that many shows?
In Auckland, we have a pretty active open mic scene.
Right.
Where it'll be a lot of people traveling around bars. Just little pop-ups at bars every week.
Yeah.
You might get four people come in who didn't really know that there was comedy on. They get tricked into watching you.
Joel bombs once a week because he performs once a week.
Right. Yeah. And so when you bomb, do you ever go away thinking, I'm giving up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
For like the whole next day. Then maybe 3 days pass and go, well, I need another one just to be sure.
Yeah, just to be sure.
And just in case people don't know, Joel has not performed this week.
Yeah. Oh.
So Henry's going to have his perfect moment.
Yeah.
And Joel's going to crash and burn.
Yeah.
How about you, Simon? How are you feeling about tonight?
This is aim for middle of the road then, right?
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. I'm going first, so I feel a bit of pressure actually to set the mood.
Okay, right. And do you have to kind of keep an eye on the clock, or do you just kind of know when you've done your...
No, I time myself on my watch.
Oh, do you? Okay. So have you been down to the Fringe After Dark Club yet?
No, not yet. Okay. We only arrived this afternoon. This morning, actually.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I walked in and I was like, if there was, you know, cigarette smoke everywhere, it would be my idea of a sleazy comedy club.
Yeah.
Sleazy, that's... Yeah. But, like, you go to 16 John Street and the frontage has all got all this McLeod's Brewery stuff on it because they're the sponsors.
Yeah.
But then there's a little crappy cardboard sandwich board saying, go entrance around the back, and you go up this sort of alleyway and it's like, this is the vibe they're going for.
Yeah.
But, so it's going to be great. We better wrap this up because we're nearly out of time and I want to